is to, okay, sorry. Today's topic is Tchum Shabbos, which to the extent it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, is sourced in this week's parasha. So that allows us to talk about a really, really interesting mitzvah because it impacts many things. The fundamental machlokas will be, of course, whether it's a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbana, or more accurately, an isser d'oraisa or an isser d'rabbana. The second question will be, okay, well, what is it exactly? What's the distance and what are the implications? But the bigger issue to me, the fascinating issue, is how we read psukim in this week's parsha. Because you could read the psukim about Tchum Shabbos and never notice Tchum Shabbos, because it seems to be a story that has to do with the man. It's really interesting that the Torah introduces Shabbos in this week's parsha sort of by accident. Like nobody thinks of Bishalach as being the source for Shabbos, and there are many other sources, obviously, but somehow, bizarrely, the first real introduction to Shabbos in the Torah is in this week's parsha. And then maybe if we have time to talk about one we'll definitely talk about, which is one of the most obvious stiros or inconsistencies between the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, and the difficulty of sometimes sorting out, you know, what's a d'oraisa and what's a drabanan, or in our case, what's a malacha, what's the difference between one of the lamites malachos and Tchum Shabbos, which is not one of the lamites malachos, even according to those who count it as an isser d'oraisa. Okay, those are the questions we want to deal with. Let's start reading some psukim. You know, everybody's so into the Shabbos being Shir HaSayam and Shabbos Shir, which it is. Sometimes I think we forget the second part of the parsha, which is fascinating, right? The Milchemes Amalek and stuff like that. But let's read the story of the man. Vayomer Moshe, Ichluhu Hayom ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom lo timtza'uhu basadeh. Remember, the psukim are, you're not allowed to collect more than an omer. You're not allowed to leave over any man. All of a sudden, the Torah recounts that on Friday, the Jews collected a double portion, what we call Lech HaMishnah. The Nesiim complained, and it's as if everybody knew something, but Moshe forgot to announce it. And Moshe says, yeah, it's fine to collect double portion today because it's going to be Shabbos. Sheshes yamim til ketuhu, 6 days you gather man, uvayom hashivii Shabbat lo yihiyabo. But on the seventh day, there won't be any man. Now, what's clear is, he doesn't want anybody going out to gather man. Nevertheless, in a big disappointment, Chav Zayin, Vahi Bayom HaShivi'i Yatzu'u Min Ha'am Lilkot V'lo Matzau. Despite, Shimmy, you're going to give us all your germs.
I am COVID positive.
Congratulations.
I'm reading it.
Okay. So he tells him not to go out, and it's the first, really, we don't think about it enough, but it's the first recorded case of Chilul Shabbos. They go out to collect man anyway. So then the following happens. Chav Ches. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, ad ana me'antem lishmor mitzvotai v'torotai. For how long are you going to reject my Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kiviyachol angry. Re'u, ki Hashem natan lachem ha-shabbat, al kein hu noten lachem bayom ha-shishi lachem yomayim. See, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you Shabbos, and therefore he gave you a double portion of man on Friday. And here come the psukim, the words we need. Shavu ish tachtav, everybody stay in their place. Al yetze ish mimekomo bayom ha-shivii. Nobody go out from his place on Shabbos. And then vayish besuham bayom ha-shivii. The people did it. They stayed where they were. One way to read the psukim is simply, this is a narrative. This is a story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jews, don't go out on Shabbos to collect man. And in the end, they didn't go out. I think it would be possible to read this without seeing any halachos here. The other way to read it is, yes, the context is a story about collecting man, but it really expresses God's desire that on Shabbos, Shavu Ish Tachtav, everybody stay where they are, al yetze ish mimekomo bayom hashvi'i. It's almost like there's a mitzvah saseh, shivu ish tachtav, stay where you are, and a mitzvah slo saseh, al yetze ish mimekomo bayom hashvi'i. Nobody go out. Okay? But even if this was a source for the halacha of Tchum Shabbos, or at least in one place, the halacha of Hotza'ah on Shabbos, on carrying Dalet Amos, on going from Shus HaYochid to Shus HaRabim, carrying something, even if all that was the case, what does it mean? Al Yetzeish Mimekomo Bayom HaShvi'i. Does that mean you can't leave the front door? Right? Even if the source is Doraisa, we're going to still need Chazal to help us interpret what the halacha is. Exactly what can't you do? How far can't you go? It's very similar to the fundamental halachas of Shabbos, right? What's the fundamental halacha of Shabbos? An Isser Malacha. How do we know what the Isser Malacha is? Well, it's not in the Torah, right? The Torah says, Kol Malachat Lo Ta'asu, you can't do any work. But anybody who looks at it then says, well, okay, what's the definition of Malacha? What can't I do on Shabbos? So Chazal show up and have a hekesh between building the Mishkan and you're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. From this, they learn malachos that were necessary to build the Mishkan constitute malacha on Shabbos and are therefore asur min haTorah. Okay, so the question will be, well, if al yetzei ish mimekomo is a lotaseh, how far is that? What does it mean, al yetze ish mimekomo? How do I know exactly how many amos are involved? So first, just because it's just like it's a habit, you know, you always look at Rashi on the psukim. Rashi makes his shita absolutely clear. Shavu ish tachtav, he says, mikan samchu chachamim arba amot liyotze chutz l'tchum. From here, Chazal learned that if you go outside of Tchum Shabbos on Shabbos, you're limited to 4 amos. That's not really what we want. We want the next Rashi. Al yetze ish mimekomo, says Rashi, elu al paim amos shel Tchum Shabbos. This is a reference to the 2,000 amos that we're restricted to on Shabbos. And then Rashi points out the obvious. V'lo b'miforash. But it's not the simple pshat in the pasuk. The simple pshat in the pasuk is it's talking about the Jews collecting man. And Rashi says, "She'ein tchumin ela midivrei sofrim," because the prohibition of tchum Shabbos is drabanan. This doesn't look like a real source minatar. It's drabanan. Ve'ikaro shel mikra alok tehaman ne'emar. Rashi says what we've been suggesting. Really, the pasuk is part of a narrative. It's telling us a story of the first time the man fell on Shabbos and the fact that the Jews went out and God told them, don't go out. That's the pshat in the pasuk. It happens to be that Chazal looked at this and said to themselves, well, if God didn't want the Jews going out and collecting man on Shabbos in the Midbar, let's now institute that as an ongoing halacha drabanan for every Shabbos, even though, you know, we're not collecting man. That's Rashi. Now, what are the other shitos? So one of the problems we have, and here it's particularly the case because there are any number of gemaros. There are a number of gemaros that seem to imply that Tchum Shabbos is Doraisa. There are a number of gemaros that seem to imply that Tchum Shabbos is Drabana. Okay, that's not so helpful. But I'll point out one, which many people look at as the main source. It's a pasuk, but it's hard to take it seriously in the sense that it's hard to believe that this is really the Doraisa source for Tchum Shabbos. Look at source number 3. Gemara in Erevin Nun Aleph Amud Aleph says as follows. Hani alpaim ama heichan kisivan. The Gemara wants to know, I understand there is an Isser Doraisa. I understand there's a prohibition of going more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos. What's the source? How do I know there's such a prohibition? Answers the Gemara with our pasuk. Ditanya shavu ish tachtav. That's elu arba amos. You can't, if you're outside of the tchum, you're limited to 4 amos. But the one we want, al yetze ish mimikomo, elu alpaim ama. Somehow, the prohibition of al yetze ish mimikomo is understood to mean you're limited to 2,000 amos. Yeah, that's great. The Gemara says, minalan, I hear you, but I've asked you for a source. What's the source that you can't go more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos? You've told me, shivu ish tachtav al yetze ish mimikomo vayom ashvi. But that doesn't say anything about 2,000 amos. So the Gemara introduces a quadruple gzera shava. I'll read it. Amar Rav Chisda. No, lamadnu makom, umakom mi nisa, v'nisa mi nisa, v'nisa mi gvul, ugvul mi gvul, ugvul mi chutz, v'chutz mi chutz. We have the same word appearing in a bunch of places. The short answer is, just to be clear, is makom in our pasuk is compared to makom with respect to galus, to an ir hanidachas. There the pasuk is clear, you can't go more than 2,000 amos outside of the ir hanidachas. Therefore, it must be that when our pasuk says al yetze ish mimekomo, it means the same 2,000 amos that you are limited to in an ir hanidachas. Where did that 2,000 amos come from? It came from Arei HaLevi'im. All cities, if you read in the Torah, were included within the Arei HaLevi'im is 2,000 amos outside of the city, where you get to plant things and you get to have gardens and you get to walk around in an uncongested area. That's a Din Torah. So you put all those things together and you learn out that Al Yetze Ish Mimekomo means 2,000 amos. Okay? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says Umadosem Michutz La'ir et Pa'at Kedma Alpayim Ba'ama. Because that's every city has 2,000 amos outside of it. So on the one hand, okay, I get the limud. On the other hand, it's kind of hard to believe that this is intended to be a d'oraisa halacha, right? Makom mi nisa, nisa mi gvul, right? Just, it doesn't seem serious that this is how we learn out of din d'oraisa. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying the sense you get is it's more like some form of super asmachta, where yes, the Gemara quotes a pasuk to support a halacha, but it's possible the Gemara quotes a pasuk to support a halacha, not because the halacha is min haTorah and because the pasuk really represents the source, but because the pasuk helps us. Okay, who disagrees with that? The answer is the Rambam. How do I know that? Because the Rambam counts Tchum Shabbos in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It is mitzvat lo tase shin chaf aleph, and obviously the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam makes clear in the first Shoresh, everything in the Sefer HaMitzvos is d'oraisa. Okay? So what is the mitzvah, the lo tase tchum Shabbos for the Rambam? Source number 4. He shehiz hiranu, the Torah warned us, shelo lahaloch chutz l'tchum hamedina b'shabbat. We're prohibited from walking outside of the tchum of the area in which we live. I'll return to that in a minute. On Shabbos, vu amaro, our pasuk, al yetze ish mi mekamo bayom ha-shivi'i. Uba ha-kabbalah, now Chazal came and explained as follows. Shegvul ha-halicha, the distance that you're allowed to travel, shehi asura, ma she nosif al alpayim aba amachus min ha-medina. The iser de oraisa is going more than 2,000 amos outside of the Medina, va'afilu ama achat. Even 2,001 amos is a violation. Now, what does Medina mean? So this isn't so much of halacha l'maaseh, but as we all know, chutz l'Medina means you get 2,000 amos from the end of the town that you live in. The assumption is that Teaneck and Bergenfield together, because there's a house every 70 amos. So probably it's the case that it's all one area, and you could walk from one end of Teaneck to the other end of Bergenfield. I don't know, maybe you could walk into Bogota also. That it doesn't matter how far that is. take an easier example. You could walk up and down Manhattan. Okay? Tchum Shabbos doesn't limit how far we can walk. Tchum Shabbos limits how far we can walk outside of the area in which we live. So it's important to note, it's not an exercise halacha, right? It's not, well, if you walk that far, you're going to get tired on Shabbos. That's not the din. The din has to do with walking out of a civilized area. It has to do with, you know, can you walk from Teaneck to Englewood, right? Now, Teaneck to Englewood is probably shorter than walking back and forth from one end of Teaneck to the other. So again, it's not a din in how far you can walk. It's a din in how far you can walk outside of the civilized area in which you live, right? Generally speaking, if there's a 70 amma gap between the end of the town and the next house, if it's more than 70 amos, then it resets your Tchum Shabbos and you could not walk more than 2,000 additional amos. Okay? Now, here's the other interesting thing. The Rambam continues in the third line. Lalechet alpayim amma l'chol tzad mutar. It's not that you can walk, you know, you want to walk to Englewood. I don't know which direction that is from Teaneck, but it's not that you can walk 2,000 amos outside of Teaneck in that direction. You can also walk on the same Shabbos 2,000 amos outside of Teaneck in the other direction. You get 2,000 amos on each side. Okay? And he quotes the Mechilta. Where did he get the 2,000 amos from? Probably from the Gemara we saw in source number 3, but also Mechilta says, Al Yitesh Mekabal, Elu Alpayim Amma. Okay? And then he has a source that says, Amru, Lokin al isurei tchumin dvar Torah. You get makos min haTorah for the isra of Tchum Shabbos. Why? Because Tchum Shabbos is a biblical prohibition. That's what it's doing in the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, so far so good. The problem is the Rambam disagrees with himself in the Yad HaChazaka. This is, you know, one of the most well-known, I say that because I know it, inconsistencies between the Rambam and the Yad HaChazaka and the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. And here we come, source number 5. Says the Rambam in Perek Chav Zayin Halacha Aleph of the Yad HaChazaka, Hayotze chutz l'tchum ha-medina b'shabbat lokeh. Okay, why? Because it's an Isser D'oraisa. She'ne'amar, again, our pasuk, al yeteish v'mekomo b'yom ha-shevi'i. Makom zeh, hu tchum ha'ir, right? You can't go outside of the tchum of the city you live in. Now, the Rambam says, v'lo natna Torah shi'ur l'tchum zeh. While the Rambam says it's, of course, an Isser D'oraisa, but the Torah doesn't tell us what the Isser D'oraisa is. It doesn't tell us how far. Aval chachamim he'etiku, but Chazal showed up and said, she'tchum zeh hu chutz lishneim asar mil kineged machane Yisrael. The Rambam in the Yad says the Isser D'oraisa of Shabbos is not 2,000 amos, it's 24,000 amos. I'll explain briefly. Okay? An amma is about 20 inches. Okay? Or 50 centimeters. 2,000 amos basically is a kilometer. Yes, I actually think in kilometers now. But for you people, it's like a lot, it's a little less than 2/3 of a mile. Okay? Now, a mil, not to be confused with a mil is 2,000 amos, right? So 12 mil is 24,000 amos, which is about 12 kilometers. So the Rambam, which is probably like, you know, between 8 and 9 miles. So the Rambam says, it's a lot. The Rambam says the Isser D'oraisa of Tchum Shabbos is not 2,000 amos, as I said in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's 24,000 amos. Okay, we'll continue, then we'll come back. He says, but v'lalechet alpayim amaluch. No, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. V'chein amay lohem Moshe Rabbeinu lo teitzu chutz l'machane. We'll come back. Umidivrei sofrim, but there is an issur d'rabbanan shelo yetzei adam chutz la'ir elo ad alpayim amah. A person can't go outside of the city only up to 2,000 amos. Aval chutz l'alpayim ama asur, she'alpayim ama hu migrash ha'ir. Okay, that's pretty much the Gemara we saw in Erevin. 2,000 amos is the area that belongs to a city outside of the city. So the Rambam says, essentially, there are two different halachos of Tchum Shabbos. There's Tchum Shabbos d'oraisa, that's 12 mil, equal 24,000 amos. There's Tchum Shabbos d'rabbanan, which is 2,000 amos, essentially a kilometer. Now, okay, we basically then have the Rambam disagreeing with himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and the basic approach is, yeah, the Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka after he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos. So generally speaking, we assume the Rambam changed his mind, and, you know, we paskin, or we believe the Rambam paskin, like what he says in the Yad HaChazaka, not in the Sefer HaMitzvos. But here, I think, while it's true, I think the Rambam stumbled on something fantastic. He probably didn't stumble on it. Maybe I stumbled on it. When the Rambam says, where does the source for 12 mil come from? So the Rambam tells you, Chazal introduced in the De'oraisa prohibition 12 mil because the size of the Machane Yisrael in the Midbar was 12 mil. So if you go back to the original source when reading the Psukim, so you say to yourself, well, what's the connection between Shvu Ish Tachtav Al Geitzei Shemimekomo Bayom HaShvi'i? That's just a din in the Mun. But the Rambam says, no. When it says Al Geitzei Shemimekomo, it's teaching us that just like the Jews in the Midbar were not allowed to walk a distance beyond the size of the encampment, which was 12 mil, so too, we're not allowed to walk more than 12 mil, and that's a Torah halacha, because that's the connection between the story and the halacha, right? It's not just Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Shot in the Pasuk with the Rambam is, Moshe told the Jewish people, you cannot walk more than 12 mil, because if you walk more than 12 mil, you'll be leaving the camp. And so therefore, Chazal interpreting the D'oraisa said the mitzvah D'oraisa, or the lotas emunat Torah, is 12 mil. Then, as Chazal do in many other places, they said, but we're going to make a gzera on top of the D'oraisa, and our gzera is not 12 mil, but 2,000 amos. Again, essentially 1 kilometer and or, for you guys, about two-thirds of a mile.
Ellie, doesn't that imply, though, that if somebody's living in the middle of the camp, not at one edge of it, but the middle...
Yeah, I knew you'd get me. Yes. But I don't know how it would work. Let's put it this way. I don't believe that the problem of collecting man on Shabbos was really a problem of Tchum Shabbos. But what the Rambam gets us is he's able to connect the prohibition in this week's Parsha with the Tchum Shabbos that connects to the story, right? His Tchum Shabbos is the size of Machane Yisrael. Jackie, you're 1,000% right. If you're sitting in the middle of the camp, it wouldn't be 12 mil to get to the side. It would be 6 mil. But nevertheless, the connection, I think, helps us a lot. Now the Rambam is going to give us some halachos. We're in 5 halacha bet. Perek Chav Zayin halacha bet, bottom of the page where the cursor is. Says the Rambam, Nimtzis Lame. We learn the following. Shemutar la'adam b'Shabbat la'haloch et kol ha'ir kula afilu ha'ita k'ninve. I think Ninve was the biggest city the Rambam knew. So he said, you can walk the length and breadth of Ninve on Shabbos without bumping into any Tchum Shabbos issue. And that applies bein sha'ita mukefet choma, bein shelo ha'ita mukefet choma. Now, an aside here, but it's an important one. I think what the Rambam is saying is the following. The Rambam didn't believe in Eruvs, not at least Eruvs made of the type that we use. The Rambam believed in walls. But the Rambam here says, it's not that you can walk all of the distance of Ninveh, because Ninveh has, you know, is surrounded by a wall. I don't think it's really true. He says you can walk it anyway because it's a city. V'chein mutar lo la'aloch chutz la'ir alpayim ha'malachol ruach merubat kitavla merubat. Okay, I want to avoid the technicalities, but essentially Tchum Shabbos isn't exactly 2,000 amos from the city limit. You draw a square around the city and you get 2,000 amos outside of that square. That's merubat. Kedishye niskaret hazavid. Okay, because you'll work with a box. V'im yatsa chutz la'alpayim ama makin oto makat mardus ad shnei mosa mil. Says the Rambam, if you went more than 2,000 amos, that's an Isser D'Rabbanon, and therefore you get Makas Mardus, that's Makos Midrabbanon. Aval im yatsa v'hirchik min ha'ir, yeter al shnei mosar mil, but if you went more than 2,000 amos, afilu ama achat lo kemin ha'torah, even if you went more, you went one ama beyond 24,000 amos, you're in violation of an Isser D'Oraisa. Okay? So that's essentially how it works. It doesn't really matter how we paskin. We'll come to that at the end. L'chol adeos, there's an Issa D'Rabbanon to go more than 2,000 amos outside of a city on Shabbos. Okay? Good. The Rambam also makes clear that this is an Issa D'Oraisa. He quotes a pasuk. He describes it as an Issa D'Oraisa. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban in his Hasagos on the Rambam basically says, I don't know what your source is. You know, we paskin otherwise. This happens a lot, and it takes to be really smart and to know every Gemara by heart to play in the league of the Rambam and the Ramban. But you'll see what the Ramban does. Source number six. He says, V'zev v'adai to'ot v'kitzur b'ma'amar hazeh. When the Rambam counts it as a daraisa, it's clearly a mistake. She'elu hem divi Rabbi Akiva de'omar alpayim amad daraisa. It's true. There is a sheet of Rabbi Akiva that says 2,000 amos is Doraisa, but ve'ein halacha kamoso, we don't pass in like him. But then the Rambam points out, aval b'chibura gadol in the Yad HaChazaka, hodesh shalpayim amos midivrei sofrim, aval amar shegvul ha'nisiya min ha'torah shalosh parsaot keneged machane Yisrael, that's 24,000 amos. Where did he get it from? So the Rambam says he got it from a Yerushalmi. Right, it's amazing that they could just play this way without sources. He says they definitely got it from Yerushalmi. He said, but we paskin like the Bavli. The Rambam doesn't get to choose the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. As a result, says the Rambam is wrong. Yes, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan of Tchum Shabbos, but there's no Issa D'Oraisa of Tchum Shabbos. It points out, the reason I'm emphasizing is, A, because it's interesting, but B, it points out methodologically that it's often the case that you look at all the sources and you still don't know if something is a D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. Yes, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, but sometimes the Gemara quotes a pasuk as an asmachta. And almost all machlokisim about whether something is a D'Oraisa or something is a D'Rabbanan, almost always they revolve around how I read a Gemara. Not whether there's a Gemara. If somebody says it's D'Oraisa, so of course there must be a source for it. But the question is it a real source? Or is it just, you know, sort of the idea is D'Oraisa, you know, the Torah makes clear that it has a desire for something, but it's really Chazal who introduced it. Okay, the line between D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan is much more permeable than we would normally think. And this is a perfect example of that. The Rambam has a Yerushalmi. The Rambam has a Bavli, paskins like Rabbi Akiva, but the Ramban says, yeah, but we paskin like Chachamim, and the Yerushalmi doesn't beat out the Bavlis. Okay, so much for that point. What's the rationale for the mitzvah? So here we find the Sefer Achinuch, where he presents a certain view. Mishor she mitzvah zo, says the Chinuch on the mitzvah of Tchum Shabbos in this week's Parsha. The rationale is as follows. The world was created. It did not pre-exist. Okay, fine. Al-Kain, lizkor hadavar, ra'uy lanu shenanuach b'makom echad. That gets a little more subtle. The chinuch basically says, yeah, why does Shabbos exist? Shabbos exists because we're supposed to be reminded of the fact that God created the world. That's why we make Kiddush. That's why we don't do Malacha. That's why we rest.
Eli?
Yes?
Is this like a concept like you hear Rav Asher saying, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the source...
No. No, it's not. I know exactly what you mean. But here it's not. It's a first cousin to it, but it's not. Meaning, this is a real machlokes. There are real gemaros that quote real sources. The Rambam believes there's a difference between a d'oraisa and a d'rabbanan unrelated to Ratzon HaTorah. For example, the example Rav Asher often uses is Tzar Bali Chaim. Okay? There is no pasuk in the Torah that says that Tzar Bali Chaim is asur. But the sense you get from a bunch of different things in the Torah is that the Torah doesn't want us to torture animals. Okay? So that's the kind of thing where he would say, I think, it's a d'rabbanan, but it is enforcing the Ritzon HaTorah. Right? Hidur Mitzvah. Is it d'oraisa d'rabbanan? I don't know if it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan. It's Ritzon HaTorah. So I guess maybe you could make that claim here, that the Torah wasn't telling us a halacha when it said Jews don't go out of the camp on Shabbos and the Midbar to collect the man. But maybe you're right. It's the case that it reveals to us that God doesn't want us going out on Shabbos. And so Chazal came based on that. It's hard to know, but it's a fair point. But let's finish the chinuch. What's the purpose of not going out on Shabbos? So he says, Al-Kain, lizkor ha-davar ra'ui lanu shenanuach b'makom echad. If we want to spend Shabbos contemplating the fact that God created the world, well, then going on hikes isn't the way to do it. But not, I don't think, because we're exhausted. Let's read. Kolomar, shelo neilech b'derech rachok, rak derech tiyul va'oneg. You're not supposed to go on a hike, you know, outside, in my case, it's easy, outside of Efrat, where there really are places to hike and it's uninhabited. Ubahalichat shneim asar milim, ein bo torach rav. It's really hard to understand. He says, you know, up to 12 kilometers is not such a big hike. Aye, but what about the fact that you could walk 50 kilometers back and forth in Manhattan, in Teaneck, in Ninveh, in Efrat? Doesn't that matter? So I think Pshat is as follows, but I can't tell you for sure. I think when you take a walk in the area that you know, you know, when you walk around Teaneck, so it's not so distracting in the sense that it's a lovely walk. But when you get out into nature, when you get out of civilization, when you're hiking, certainly in Israel, if you're hiking outside of Efrat, you're nervous, first of all, and you're in a new place, that seems to be fundamentally distracting. Like the sense you get is this attention here, right? Does the Torah want us to not take a walk on Shabbos? No, I don't think so. In fact, I remember Rav Lichtenstein saying that, of course, that's not the case. But the Torah doesn't want us going on a hike on Shabbos. A walk on Shabbos sort of, you know, increases your own egg Shabbos. A hike completely distracts you from, you know, from the purpose of Shabbos. I would suggest without any support, you know, you take a walk in your Shabbos clothes. Okay, it's a Shabbos walk. You put on shorts and sneakers, you take a knapsack and a whole bunch of water bottles and you go climbing in the mountains. That doesn't enhance your Shabbos, I wouldn't think, for most of us. It distracts you from it. Okay, that's the chinuch. That's the chinuch's rationale, but there's a lot of room to discuss there. Let's do one more big point. Okay, every time, let's talk about the difference between a malacha on Shabbos and an Isser Shabbos. So here's a good example. The Rambam starts Hilchos Shabbos as follows. Shvisa, source number 8. Shvisa b'shvi'i mi malacha mitzvat aseh. The Rambam, interestingly, doesn't start, these are the 39 malachos and you can't do them because they're Isser. Instead, he says, Shvisa b'shvi'i mi malacha mitzvat aseh. It's a positive commandment to refrain from doing malacha on Shabbos. Shenemar, uvayom hashivi'i tishbos. right? That's not a prohibition. That's a mitzvah saseh. You were supposed to rest on Shabbos. V'chol ha'oseh bo melacha bitel mitzvah taseh. Anybody who does melacha on Shabbos is mevatel the mitzvah saseh of uvayom ha'shvi'i tishvos v'avar ha'lo taseh, and is in violation of ha'lo taseh. Shenemar lo taseh kol melacha. Okay, what are the punishments? Umahu chayav al asiyat melacha. What is the punishment for doing melacha? Well, im asa birtzono bizadon. Oh, wow. Im asa birtzono bizadon chayav kares. If you do melacha on Shabbos b'mezid, you get kares. And if you had the bad luck, vim hayusham edim v'hasra'a niskal. But if there were edim and they warned you, don't do this, and you do it anyway, you get killed. You get skila. V'masa bishkaga. And if you did it bishogeg, then chayev karban chatas kavua. Then fine, you have to bring a karban chatas. Okay? Next halacha, same point. Kol makom shenemar b'hilchos Shabbos ha'oseh davar zeh chayav, harei zeh chayav karet. V'im hayu sham edim v'hasra, chayav skila. V'im hayash shogeg, chayav chatas. Now, interestingly, that's the din for malacha. That's not the din for Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos, even according to the Rambam, is an Isser D'Oraisa, but it's not one of the 39 malachos. Therefore, as we saw already, if you violate Tchum Shabbos, you get Makos Min HaTorah, like every other Lo Taseh She'yesh Bo Masa. That's just a general rule. It doesn't fall under the rubric of the general Kares Misa standard for Shabbos, which means somehow that, if I could say it this way, it's less important. What does that mean? It means that Shabbos is defined by the Isser Malacha. Shabbos is defined by the 39 creative acts that are usher to do because they were necessary to build the Mishkan. Tchum Shabbos wasn't one of them. And it seems like it's punished less severely. Now, is it also a violation of the mitzvah saseh? If you walk more than Tchum Shabbos, are you in violation of the mitzvah saseh uvayom ha'shvi'i tishbos? Let's see in the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch says in source number 9, V'hinei lav zen nimna lav bifnei atzmo, the prohibition of Tchum Shabbos exists in its own category. It is not part of the Isser Malacha on Shabbos. The Halav Dim Lacha Hurak Otan Avot Melachot Shenimnu B'Mishnah Shehayu B'Mishkan. Lamites Malachos are activities that were done in connection of building the Mishkan. Va'alav Dim Malacha B'Mezid Huskila, just like we read, Malacha B'Mezid gets you skila v'karis v'shogi chatas. Okay. V'halav zeh l'shitas ha-Rambam v'chaveiro, but Tchum Shabbos, according to the Rambam, and those who agree with him, hu gzeras ha-kosuv de'eino malacha. It's not a malacha. The Rambam doesn't think it's one of the lamites malachas. Rak lav bifnei atzmo. V'halav zeh lokim arba'im. You get makos, as we said. You don't get kares, you don't get skila. Okay, skipping a little bit. V'da. Da'afta osa malacha b'shabbos chutz ma'asheh over alo taseh over gam kein ba'aseh d'tishbos. Every time you do a malacha, not only are you in violation of alo taseh, you're also in violation of an aseh, of tishbos, of resting on Shabbos. In this case, says the Minchas Chinuch, it doesn't apply. Okay? V'zedavka b'ha melachot shehu nichlal b'lo taseh kol melacha nichlal gam kein v'aseh d'shpos. Avalav zeh, the prohibition of Tchum Shabbos, de'eino melacha klal, v'lo nichlal b'lav de melacha, rak hu lav b'fnei atzmo al yetzei ish m'mekomo, over rak b'lav hazeh, v'lo b'aseh d'tishpos. Why not? Kevon de'eino melacha, eino mevatel aseh d'tishpos. Fascinating idea. Says the Minchas Chinuch, there are two categories of prohibitions on Shabbos. One is the prohibition of doing creative acts. Those are the lamites malachos. Those are the core of Shabbos. If you write on Shabbos, you're undermining the essence of the day. And by writing, you're in violation of lo ta'aseh kol melacha, and you're also in violation of bayom hashivi'i tishbos. But says the Minchas Chinuch, with respect to Tchum Shabbos, it's sort of like an external halacha. It's like Gzeres HaKasov. When you walk 10 miles on Shabbos, you're not Chayev Misa, because you're not undermining Shabbos. Why not? So the answer is, as we've all heard at different times, that the definition of malacha is not work. Right? You're allowed to carry your couch from the basement to the attic on Shabbos, minat Torah. Well, let's put it this way. It's not one of the lamites malachos. It's backbreaking labor, and writing two letters on a piece of paper is not backbreaking labor. Nevertheless, writing two letters on a piece of paper is an issur d'oraisa, and carrying the couch is not. Why is that? The answer is malacha is not properly translated as work. Malacha is properly translated as creative activity, right? When God created the world, he wasn't exhausted, you know, however you say that. It wasn't hard work. How did God create the world? Hu amar vayehi. Vayomer Hashem yehi or. Vayomer Hashem tacher etz desha. Vayomer Hashem, vayomer Hashem. He just said it and it came into being. If we keep Shabbos to imitate God, ki sheish samim asar Hashem es hashemem v'asar etz vayonach bayom ha-shivi'i. So the definition of what we're not allowed to do on Shabbos is creative acts. Because God rested from creative acts, so we rest from creative acts. And it turns out, not surprisingly, that walking a long distance on Shabbos is not a creative act. It might be exhausting, but it's not a creative act. And therefore, you know, the machlokus of where we learn it from has significance philosophically, because it really does sound like, you know, it's this kind of strange halacha that exists outside of the world of lamites malachos, even if it's d'oraisa. God doesn't want you to do it, but it has nothing to do with the Mishkan. It has nothing to do with exerting ourselves. It's not at the core of Shabbos. I'll say it in the way that Rav Lichtenstein said it once. It might be a violation, but it's not chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos literally means, right, making Shabbos, profaning Shabbos. If you do a creative act on Shabbos, you're profaning Shabbos. But if you walk far on Shabbos, you're violating a halacha, but you're not profaning Shabbos. Okay, there's a lot to think about and a lot to talk about in that context. I'll just throw in one more thing. You know, a lot of people might suggest, this is just a freebie, and it might get me into trouble, but so on. A lot of people might say, well, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us not to do malacha on Shabbos, maybe he's really against malacha, right? I'm going to be really frum. I'm not going to do malacha all week, because God told me just one day. Yeah, but if he told me not to do malacha one day, probably he doesn't like malacha at all, and malacha is like a concession somehow to human desire or human necessity of making a living. That is not true. Not only is that not true, it's the opposite of what the Mishnah in Avos Rabbi Nosson says. There the Mishnah says, "Vayom Hashvi Tishpos, Yachol, you shouldn't do malacha all week. Talmud Lom." It's a mitzvah. Or said this way, it's Ritzon Hashem, Henry. God wants us to be creative. God wants us to perfect the world. God created an imperfect world. Okay? A world in which, you know, we're all suffering to some extent because of a disease that we can't get under control. God wants us to fix it. It's clear God could have created a world in which that's not true. Based on another medrash, God could have created a world in which men are born without an arla. But God didn't do that. God created man with an arla and then told us, perfect the world, fix it. I turn us Rufus Arusha, says to Rabbi Akiva, if God doesn't want an arla, why did he create you with an arla? And the answer is, because he wanted us to create, to perfect the world. It's the same reason why, I think it's a Maharal. The first time the name Kael Shakai, describing God, is used, is when God tells Avraham Avinu to circumcise himself and Yishmael. So the Maharal says, what is Kael Shakai? I think there's a drasha someplace that says, Anihu She'amar La'olam Dai. Meaning, God arbitrarily stopped creation. There's more stuff he could have done. But it's as if he said, Ad kan, my job. Mikan ulahaba, your job. The first thing we have to do is a bris milah. The next thing we have to do is fix the world. That's our purpose. So we're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Those are creative acts, of course. We're not allowed to do those on Shabbos because fixing the world involves creativity. That's the nature of Shabbos. That's the essence of Shabbos. Why is there this separate standalone Isser of Tchum Shabbos? That's a really good question. You know, it really could come back to this Gzeras HaKosov that the Rambam says. You know, just like we couldn't go out and collect mon on Shabbos, which, by the way, speaks more to the fact that, like, we shouldn't do work on Shabbos, the work that we know. We shouldn't earn a living on Shabbos, right? How did the Jews earn a living in the Midbar? The answer is they went out and collected mon. That was the only way to make a living. Everybody had the same exact job. That must have been hard, right? Presumably, at least in the Midbar, nobody was richer than anybody else. All you did was collect mon. To tell us you're not allowed to collect mon on Shabbos essentially tells us you're not allowed to make a living on Shabbos. That's no surprise. But it also tells us something else. It tells us, you know, again, I don't remember exactly what he said, but Rav Lichtenstein talked about, you know, belonging to a place as being something important for human identity. And that Shabbos is not the time that you go exploring places. Shabbos is the time that you hunker down, is the wrong word, but Shabbos is the time that you need an identity. Shabbos is the time you have to know who you are, right? To enjoy Shabbos, to appreciate Shabbos, you have to belong someplace. You have to be part of a community. You have to have a self-identity. All these things matter, particularly on Shabbos, because our identity is the identity of a person who believes that God created the world, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's do one halacha. I had more than this, but let's do one halacha. Okay, well, we'll do two really quickly because Shabbos is a little later now. Here's the Mishnah Berurah. Shin Sadi Zayin Arachaim. What he says, the halacha is Alpayim Amah. That's the Mechaber. He says, "V'hu takanat chachamim, d'minat Torah mutar la'aloch ad yud bet mil kishir machane Yisrael b'amidbar she'achazika yud bet mil." Okay, he quotes. So basically, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rambam, 2,000 amos midrabanan, 24,000 amos min haTorah. Okay, one more. What if you're in, I guess, what people still call the country or the mountains, you know, and you're taking a walk outside of, I don't know, where's the place that you live, Jackie, in the summer? Not Johannesburg. What's it called?
Tannersville.
Okay. We have more Australians and South Africans here than people who go to Tannersburg, whatever it's called. Okay, but here it is. What if you're walking? How do you know? So he says, "Kidei shalav ayom bebika veino yodea tchum Shabbos, mahalech alpayim pisiot beinoniot shehem tchum Shabbos." If you're walking someplace, you don't know how far you have. The answer, he says, halacha lemaisa, is count steps. 2,000 average steps is the distance that we have for tchum Shabbos. Okay, tons of fascinating, you know, halacha lemaisa stuff. But we don't really have time for it. Just to review, story in our parsha, can't go out to collect the mon. According to most people, it has nothing to do with Tchum Shabbos. Or the way Henry would say it, it may raise the idea, but the Isser is not there. According to the Rambam, this is the source. How does it work so beautifully for the Rambam? Because the Rambam says this is the source for the Isser D'oraisa of Tchum Shabbos, and the Isser D'oraisa of Tchum Shabbos is related or is based on the size of the encampment of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Okay? The Gemara connects it to Ir Anidachas and to Are Halavim. That's where the 2,000 Amos thing comes from. We saw that the fascinating thing that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos refers only to 2,000 Amos as an Isser D'oraisa. In the Yad HaChazakah, he says, no, 2,000 Amos is Drabanan, 24,000 Amos is D'oraisa. The Rambam wrote a tshuva where he says, basically, well, I didn't spend all my time in the Sefer HaMitzvos explaining the halachos because that's not the purpose of the Sefer. Okay. The Ramban disagreed. We saw there, like, the interesting machlokas. They each had sources. It's just a question of which source you use as your controlling sugya. The Rambam thought the controlling sugya was the sheet of Rabbi Akiva and the Yerushalmi, that Tchum Shabbos is D'oraisa. The Ramban says, no, we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, and all the Bavli say it's Rabbanan. We saw the Chinuch, who tries to suggest that going out of the town is distracting to your focus on Shabbos. Then we talked about the more fascinating idea of what does it mean that Tchum Shabbos is Osur Min HaTorah, but is not one of the Lamates Molachos. And then we saw the idea, the Lamates Molachos go to the core of our job in the world. They go to the core of who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to perfect the world for 6 days. We're supposed to rest from perfective activity on the seventh day, just like God did. Therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, Tchum Shabbos is not a violation of Vayom HaShvi'i Tishbos. It might be an Isser D'oraisa, but it's not one of the Lamates Molachos. Therefore, the punishment is not Kares, / Skila, / Chatos. It's just Makos. How much is it? 20,000 regular steps. All right, we did our best. Shabbat Shalom to everybody.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.